medical community proudly presents the JDE Connection, a Quest on-air podcast production.
This podcast explores and showcases how JDE customers are harnessing specific functionality and capabilities to drive business success.
Hello, JDE Connection listeners. Welcome back. This is Chandra Wabshal, one of your podcast hosts, and I'm a senior business analyst with Brightview Landscapes. With me this week and every week is my friend and podcast partner, Paul Hout Cooper, Vice President of JD Edwards Product Development at Oracle. This week, I'm going to kick off this episode by giving Paul a little bit of grief. For those that didn't listen to our Blueprint promotion episode, which was episode 11, Paul decided it would be a good idea to just drop some first names and no titles and no last names of some of the speakers that are going to be presenting at Blueprint. So with that, Paul, maybe you want to do a little bit more clarification on that.
Well, I guess we're still new to this podcasting thing, so call it a rookie mistake, if you will. But yes, thank you to the folks that reached out to me to let me know that they either didn't know who John was or that they did know who he was, but recommended that perhaps others wouldn't know. So I did receive several comments following the episode that we might want to expand on everybody's name and remember to do first and last names, especially for those that have joined the product development team more recently. So today we're going to be talking with John Green, which many in the Oracle community, JD Edwards community, do know, and they have seen him at past conferences. He's been a mainstay at Blueprint and in Focus, but in a prior role. So my apologies, John, for failing to mention your last name when we mentioned the sessions you'll be taking part in last week in our Blueprint 40 preview episode. But thanks for being willing to come on and talk to us today.
You bet. I guess I need to listen to that episode because I didn't have to even know about that happening. So apology accepted.
So he didn't do Andrew-level research of listening to every episode so that he could work in every Midwesternism as part of his own intro.
No research before I got here.
Okay, Andrew Ostick, just so I'm not just throwing out first names again.
All right. So, John, you just joined the JD Edwards leadership team. Congratulations, I think.
Sure, yeah, I think maybe. We'll find out.
Wow.
Not to be in 6 months.
Right. Before we get into a little bit of your motivation for kind of taking this role and kind of what you hope to accomplish, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background, maybe where you're from, where you went to college, where you're based out of, so people can get a little bit of who's John?
Sure. So my name is John Green, since that was hard to get my last name, it sounds like in the last episode. But well, everybody calls me John G, just because John is a boring and very common name. So I go by John G mostly. Even my kids call me John G. Born and raised in Austin, Texas. Moved to Denver, Colorado in 1996. Married a local here in Denver. Went to school in Nashville, Tennessee at Vanderbilt University. And then I also did a master's degree down in Phoenix, Arizona, master's in international management. Worked a few years in the restaurant biz here in Denver before starting at JD Edwards in 2000 as a world distribution engineer, board engineer. So, yeah.
Wow. That's awesome.
Wow. Is it a wow? Is it awesome?
It is. So, international management. Any foreign languages you speak?
Spanish.
Yeah. Excellent.
And I lived in Madrid, Spain at one point, and that's where I really learned Spanish. And I've lost a lot, though, but yeah.
That's awesome. That's a very great skill to have, being able to converse in multiple languages. That's one I wish I had. So congratulations on that. You're lucky. All right. So as your former job at JD Edwards, you were the leader of the support organization. So love to hear a little bit about that. Was it specific just to JD Edwards, or did you also take in others as well?
Specific to JD Edwards. Basically led the support organization for both World and E1 worldwide. So know the product.
Excellent. So what are some of the most common mistakes customers make when submitting SRs? This will be, I'm sure, a hot topic. I know it was one of those things that I know Andrew Ostick in our interview with him had mentioned. There's an art and a science to it. So I'm sure you can speak to the science behind, and maybe the art even too, about what would be helpful for our users.
Wow, I love that you go right for the hard question of tell the mistakes our customers do. I would like to think I have a very customer-centric view, and I don't think our customers make a lot of mistakes. Our customers were always right, and they never do anything wrong. That is the joy of JDL.
Yes. This is okay, why Jamie Edwards customer support is number one. Customers never make a mistake. Not at all.
Or we didn't interpret it incorrectly. So yeah, I am.
Absolutely.
Very well played. Sales is also in your background then.
No, I'm doing it. No, I honestly don't really have major mistakes that customers make. I mean, I think Andrew did sum it up very well in the last few episodes where he was talking about give as much information as possible, steps to replicate what you were expecting to happen. You guys on a few of the episodes have talked about context is so important. Sharing details of this used to work, or this is the very first time I'm trying to set this up, or just recently we did an update, or a lot of times the customer doesn't think of things that would impact this issue, but those are all the different data points that help figure out the puzzle and figure out how to resolve it quicker, right?
Context is key. It's funny that this didn't come up in any of our prior episodes, but I would say almost a pet peeve is the nothing changed context. Absolutely nothing has changed, except that you actually updated the tools release over the weekend and replace the database client over the weekend. And
those are just not details to add. Yes, but I give them just the benefit of the doubt. They just forgot with everything going on.
It's okay. Well, we didn't know they were relevant, right? I'm just joking to our customers out there. It happens. But context does matter. And one of the things we do ask quite often is what did change and the full scope of what changed, because let's not assume that what we know changed didn't have an impact. Just offer more information than less, because you never know what's connected to what and what can have a cascading impact.
Yep. And my former support org knows that I would challenge our team that those are questions that we should be asking as well, right? It's not just on the customer. So we help drive those questions. So I don't like to cast blame on the customers. I look internally at what we control and what we can improve. And, you know, we're all in it together. I will call it out, though. I think we're very lucky in the JDAWorks community that we have a very strong customer base. I've learned so much about the JDAWorks software from our customers. I mean, back when I was a support engineer, literally so many customers taught me things. My favorite phrase sometimes would be to customers, I'd say, pretend I don't know anything about this process. Because honestly, I didn't, you know, and then I'd be like, oh, let me tell you. And they would teach me the process. And then I'd go and get the right information in order to solve the issue, right? So playing dumb sometimes can help, but our customers are great to work with.
I know for me, as being in a support position, one of many hats I wear, that context is key, is absolutely true. While I may know of changes that may have occurred over the weekend, I don't usually have to worry about that with my users saying, well, oh, we upgraded our database over the weekend. They're not going to know that. But when they submit an incident and say it's broken or it doesn't work, or I get an error message and they don't supply a full error message for me to help troubleshoot, it makes it a little bit challenging. So I am very empathetic, and I do try to be very detailed when I do submit SRs because of that, just knowing what I've gone through. Now, there's always things that are different or additional details that you're like, oh, yeah, I probably should have included that. But we try to do our best.
Well, I think that's part of having empathy as well, is that at the end of the day, I don't think anybody is intentionally withholding information in hopes of making it more challenging for all of us to do our job. If there's things getting withheld, it's most likely because we don't want them to be distractions. We're trying to provide the most relevant information possible and keep focus and not overload. Anyway, so everybody's just trying to do their best.
Yep. I'm empathetic with customers too, because I know obviously when they're contacting this organization, they don't necessarily want to be doing that. They have a problem with the software. And that's what I did not like about my former job. Nobody wanted to talk to me, right? When they assigned me, it's because they had a problem. Like I used to always joke at conferences, nobody calls me and says, John G, your software is working. So that's why I moved over to this side of the house. I want to have
because you think they come to development and they say, oh my gosh, I can't believe you built this. This is the most amazing thing ever.
Now, rainbows and unicorns over here, right? That's what you promised. I mean, that's what you said. Am I in the wrong spot? Wow. Everything works over here. From what I've seen so far,
you've been talking to AJ Schifano too much. AJ might be the rare one who's had that experience where everybody loves Orchestrator, and that's a beautiful thing, and it is fun to talk to customers when they realize the power of the Orchestrator Studio. That's fair. That's when you get the thank you for building this. It's rare.
All support to say that. They call AJ.
I can't help you there. I can't help the support arc there.
I know.
So... And, you know, our point with this podcast is obviously to be fun and entertaining as we try to educate. So we've asked a little bit here about entering SRs and what some advice we can give. So let's go to the fun side of the house. And what's one of the funniest stories you have from support without naming names, though? I mean, because obviously...
First names or last names or no names?
Let's protect the innocent.
Sally was the customer. No, so I really enjoyed the support side of the house because getting to talk to customers from all over the world, some of the different phrases, I mean, even across the United States, Sandra, we're talking about in Westernisms, I mean, just I learned a lot of different vocabulary from across the United States and around the world and different perspectives. That was my favorite part of working for environment. When you ask for a funny story, the first thing that popped to mind is one time it was a CIO I'd worked with for a number of years, and we were in a hot escalation. We had five people from our team on the phone, five people from support, developers on the phone, the business partner, and she's leading the call, and she is irate, right? And all of a sudden, she's 45 minutes in, and she says, John, you and your team were a bunch of a-holes. And I'm like, oh my God. And she hung up, and the whole like conference call ended, and I'm like, wow, this is not the way I expect that to go. All of a sudden, I'm in my office, and the phone rings, and it's her. And I pick it up, and I'm like, hello? And she's like, I'm so sorry. I didn't really mean that. I know you guys are doing your best. But she goes, I'm laying into my team. And so I needed to lay into you guys to kind of show that I was giving you a hard time. So just play along with it. Let me get back. And I'm like, oh, my God. So that was the first and only time that I ever got cussed out by a customer. And that's why I think it's a funny story, because it made me laugh at the time. I literally was not offended. My team was actually like, oh my God. I'm like, don't worry. It's all good. So that's my random, bizarre, funny story.
Wow. Wow. That is pretty funny.
Yeah. Now people are like, we can call support a-hole, but no.
No.
I don't know. I mean, maybe that's a technique to garnish support from your team, is you don't play any favorites, right? Nobody's safe, even Oracle support when you're laying it out there. I assume in the end we were able to finally isolate the problem and get a fix.
Oh, no, it's still open. She's still mad. No.
Oh, yeah.
She's still really mad.
And she's our first customer meeting at Blueprint. Great. Thanks.
Yeah, that. No, I chose that story because she's retired now, so she's moved on, so she protect the innocent. Yeah. So, I made her retire, apparently.
It was too much, more than she could handle, much. John.
Exactly. Seriously.
Well, goal with JD Edwards is to allow as many people as possible out there in the community, in the ecosystem, to retire with JD Edwards, even if the issues that it has pushes them out the door, apparently.
Whether you want to go or not, we'll put.
We're going to motivate you one way or the other, apparently.
I love JD Edwards, those bumper stickers. What's the opposite?
That's exactly. I was thinking, do we need a new bumper sticker?
Yeah. Wow. I don't know. Don't go there.
Ready to accelerate your JDE skills and knowledge? Join Paul and me and the rest of the JD Edwards community at Blueprint 4D. in Dallas, Texas, May 7th through the 10th, 2024.
Get the latest Oracle updates, learn about new customer innovations, and dive into hot topics like Release 24, enterprise automation, orchestrations, personalizations, extensibility, and more. To register, visit questoraclecommunity.org/blueprint4D.
So what was one of the pieces of advice you gave your successor before you transitioned from support to product development?
So the new leader of the JDR support organization is Jim Callahan. I remember to say his last name. I kept it simple. This is the advice that I give a lot of people. And for him and taking over the reins, I said it's a three-letter acronym. So maybe you want to add it to Lingo Bingo, but it's DFU. But we won't use that actually here. It's also don't mess up, but you get the idea. But that's literally what I told him, because that's a running joke I've had with him forever, is have fun, don't mess up. And he's passionate. He has a lot of experience. I've worked with Jim for over 20 years now. He and I became managers at the same time. He moved over from the UK a long time ago. And so he's going to do great at it. When you're passionate about the product, about helping your customers, you have the knowledge, he's going to be great for it there. So I'm not sure. I didn't give him too much advice. Don't do what I did.
Jim's been around a long time. He is great. He's been fun to work with. He knows his stuff. He's got a passion for the product as well as customers. So I'm not surprised. He's had good coaching through the years as well. And I'm not surprised you don't need to necessarily give him much advice other than, hey, keep doing what you're doing and don't mess up. So exactly. That's awesome. Yeah. So now we're talking about your new position. So as the leader of JD Edwards Product Management, which you started just a few months ago. So what a few folks may want to know, heck, I want to know, as your boss. So what does it mean to lead JD Edwards Product Management?
Well, wait a minute. If you don't know what it means, then I know what it means, we're in big trouble, Paul. I thought knew what it meant. That's what I've been asking you for 3 months. What
I mean, this is your first test, John.
Yeah, I thought this came up in the interview. Right? Yeah, for me, what it meant, obviously, when I was in the support org, I like to try to influence the product and try to help improve it, right? I believed in the full circle of we develop product, it goes out the door, customers start to adopt it. On the support side, I get to start seeing the challenges that customers may have implementing, or the partner saying, hey, this is not working yet as we expected, and so forth. So I always like that closed loop of trying to help influence how do we make it better, and for even other things that we're developing, how do we make it more supportable, easier to use, and reduce issues that would come into support after that, right? So now in my new role, that is kind of overall, how do we continue to enhance our product, make it better for everyone, the whole ecosystem, getting involved with that process more, learning more from customers. I get to, you know, like I said, on the other side, I heard the problems. Now here, I'll get to hear the problems, but hopefully I'll have more input to help solve those problems and develop the roadmap. We have a lot of years to support 9.2 and keep our customers moving forward. So that's what I'm excited about. What were you going to say? Did that align with what you think it means? Well, you're like, nope, that's the wrong answer.
Yes. I suppose you think I'm sitting over here with my list of check. Yep, you covered that one. Check. Yep, you covered that one. I thought it would be good to let people know what it really means to be the leader of product management and that perspective. So I appreciate you sharing that. Go ahead, Chandra.
I appreciate that as well. I had a very similar question, and I'm sure there's others out in the audience listening that are like, well, what does that mean really? What do you do? So appreciate the clarification. Speaking of roadmap, so if you're
what does he do? He tells them no. See, before, the customer was always right. So really what he wanted to do is he wanted to come over to product management so he could just tell them no. What do you want? No. Now you're no longer always right. No, I just for 20 years, I've been saying yes to everything. I finally get to say no. That's what I heard him say.
This is a tough spot. I was on the other side. I could blame. I could say, oh, the product management team said no, customer. I'm so sorry. I'm in the middle. It's their fault. Those are the means. And now I'm the one who gets to say no. Great. Yeah.
Yes. and Jim has to deliver the message. This is fantastic. Ah,
yeah, exactly. All how we move our chairs and figure out our different roles.
This is true.
So if you are in charge of roadmap, then what do customers do to get their ideas on the roadmap? Or have you tell them no, one of the two?
We love good ideas. Yes. I mean, the beauty of our JDO has been that we always have good ideas, right? That is actually beauty and the curse. Everybody has good ideas that improve the software. Our challenge as a product delivery and product management team is what do we decide to put in the product? How do we benefit the most customers possible? Because I am from support, the first thing I say to customers is make sure you log an SR to either A, make sure it's already logged an enhancement. You know, if it's not, support engineer will log it as an enhancement. If it is already existing in the system, then by logging that SR, the engineer can add that customer name to the enhancement. And that way we have a running tally. We can see, hey, look, there's a ton of customers asking for this specific enhancement. Actually, just a month ago, I had a customer call in saying, hey, I thought this enhancement, when is it going to be delivered? And I'm like, I haven't been added to it. We don't even know you're interested in it. So when you see it out on Moss and just assume, oh, it's in the system, so Oracle knows about it. No, that doesn't mean that it's being put in the roadmap. We have various criteria that will bring it in or we'll consider it, right? And that's one of the main criteria, the number of customers that get added to that.
I just got to say, so it's very, very important. I mean, I think that's a great point as far as advice to customers out there. You see the enhancement, don't just assume that that means we're doing it or that there's no value. You don't need to enter an SR and acknowledge your interest in that. It's very important that you do that, that you, you find something that you're interested in, follow through with an SR, make sure we log that interest, because the more folks that are interested, you know, the higher up it will go.
So for clarification, if I see an enhancement that I want, I should open an SR and indicate I would like to be attached to enhancement, blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Bingo. Yep. You got it. Yep. And then the other main avenue is obviously our SIG groups. There's power in numbers, and our SIGs are very good at working with our product management team on, hey, here's a ton of, you know, list of enhancements and prioritizing those so we can start looking at those. Then we know, like, obviously the SR is one route, but then, you know, you have to have a number of customers find that one and add them to it. Whereas when it's also in the SIG groups, they can bring it up as a group and they can really add momentum and more information about that and getting an agreement. It's kind of fun from my viewpoint to see the SIGs go through what we have to go through internally, right? When one customer says, well, I think it should work this way. And another person in the SIG is saying, well, no, I want it this way. Well, it comes to our challenge, right? And that's what SIGs are really good when you kind of see the challenge we face of how do you develop it to make all customers happy? We have thousands of customers that use 9.2, and yeah, trying to keep them all happy is you want to make it work for everybody. And so that's why we have processing apps and so forth. But it's an ongoing challenge, right?
Paul's favorite two words.
I know. I remember that.
Paul, can I have a processing option?
Yeah. Why, Ken? Why do you want a processing option? Give me more context. So hopefully that helped kind of how to get ideas on the roadmap. And
just to add on to the login SR to also show your interest, when you do find that enhancement that says add a processing option, be sure in your SR to show your interest and explain why you would like that processing option. Thank you very much.
You think he was waiting to say that? He was like, I'm going to dip this in. And exactly. Like, tee it up. There you go.
Nope. I am very reserved right now. There are so many things I could say.
Save that for another episode.
Exactly. Right. I mean, we do know that another role that this podcast plays is therapy. We just didn't know it was going to be ours. All right, moving on. So we've got Blueprint coming up. We just obviously did our kind of a preview of Blueprint. What excites you, John, about Blueprint? I mean, you've been there a number of times from the support side. Now you're showing up for the first time from the product side, so to speak. So what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to seeing all the customers and partners that I already know, but obviously meeting as many new customers that I don't know and partners that see me and say, hey, I think that's John G. Say hello. Can't wait to meet customers in person. I've always enjoyed doing that. And in fairness, in my former role, I didn't get enough of that in the support org. Mm-hmm. A lot of years we didn't get to necessarily go. We don't get as big of a presence at conferences. And so, you know, I used to be every other year, every 1 in 3 years. And that really makes it hard to build longer term relationships, right? So that's one aspect of it. The other thing is, as all of us have talked about, I love seeing our customers using our software and the stories our customers share. And we've all talked about it. It's one thing for us to deliver software. It doesn't mean anything if our customers are not finding value and using it and it's helping their businesses. So that's the most exciting thing for me and all the PMs and everybody in the development org is seeing our software in use, seeing our partners, what they're enabling our customers to do. And wow, there's a lot of knowledge and abilities out there and what you can do. Like, it's always wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could do that in Genio.
Yeah. You very rarely walk away without learning something. And I love your point, because I think anybody, and Chandra, you know, I'm sure you can relate to this too, as a change leader within your organization, anytime you implement something new, a new capability, you introduce it, there's so much satisfaction in seeing it get leveraged, seeing it get utilized, and seeing people get value from what you built or from what you made. And to John's point, those of us in development, we don't get to always interact with customers, right, on a day-to-day basis, and we don't get to see our product in action on a day-to-day basis. So these conferences are, it's very, very gratifying to go to these conferences and get that feedback and finally see all the people that are benefiting from what we actually built. It's very, very satisfying.
Yep, we always come back and reinvigorated, right? I mean, exhausting, right? Everybody's on their feet for a whole week and it's nonstop. And for customers as well, you're all exhausted. But I think for us, we come back rejuvenated, right?
From a customer perspective, it's definitely exhausting. It's great to be able to connect with you guys, with the JD Edwards leadership team. It's great to be able to connect with the vendors and with other customers. I too am always floored at how people are using JD Edwards and how so many companies use it differently, even within the same industry. It amazes me what ideas are out there. And that too invigorates me. Like, oh, I never thought about doing it that way. Oh, brilliant. I'm going to go back and make that change. I'm excited for that as well, as much as you are.
Yeah, you guys have talked about it on a few of the other podcasts as well. And it's obviously, I've never worked in another ERP, so I don't really know. But this ecosystem, the video, it is very sharing culture, right? Like, everybody wants to help each other out, and that's what's rewarding. And in the support organization, when I was over there, I was very lucky because I had a great development team that was willing to support my team and so forth. So whether it's we're interacting with development, whether it's customers helping each other, or whether it's the partner ecosystem, there's something about that JD Edwards. There's a culture there that, you know, it's hard to replicate.
Yep, absolutely. Well, on that note, I think we should move to our Midwesternism of the day. All right. And we're intentionally not cutting off the interview and moving on as we've done in the past, because we need John's input on this one. So, Chandra, would you like to do the honors of introducing this episode's Midwestern? We'll call it debate, perhaps.
I think debate is a very correct statement on it. So, there's a couple different schools of thoughts on this one. Soda, pop, or Coke? Ask Midwestern people. We drink soda.
Coke is what I used to say in Texas. And then I get a Dr. Pepper. Well, the long thing, I don't know what it is these days. I don't know. Paul, what do you do?
Yeah, Paul?
I plead the fifth on this one. I don't know. but I mean, I can't remember the last time I asked for I guess a soda. Yeah, I don't drink soda, right? And so I guess we got all three. I would probably say soda. John is, you know, from the South, you'd say Coke. Is that what you're saying? And then Chandra from up North, you're going with pop? No?
No.
Soda pop? Do you go with soda?
Soda.
I've never heard anybody say pop. I want to know where people say pop. I want to pop.
There's definitely pop. Well, I shouldn't say that. I am Midwestern. A lot of Midwesterners do say pop. I just happen to say soda. Sometimes it will slip out occasionally where I'm like, oh, what kind of pop do you have? Depending on where I'm at. But I worked very hard to remove the long O's, which doesn't always happen. And to actually say pop. I mean, soda, not pop. There we go. See?
I'm literally going to be down in Blueprint 40 in Texas, and they're going to be like, we don't say Coke down here. What are you talking about? I'm like, I don't know. Maybe that's what I said. I haven't lived in Texas since 1991.
I had a friend down in Alabama years ago, and wherever you went, you always asked for a Coke. And then they would say, is it a Pepsi Coke or a Coke Coke? You know? I was like,
a Pepsi Coke.
I was so confused. I was like, I'll just have water.
Bill or bubbly.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right, John. Well, thank you very much for being willing to sit down with us today and for providing your insight on this, your side of this debate on soda, pop, or Coke. I'm sure our entire listener base is very, very interested and has been waiting for that answer for a while. So.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yes, thank you for joining us today.
Yep.
All right, we'll catch you all later.
Sounds good. All right. See ya.
Bye.
Toodles. Thank you for tuning in for today's episode of the JDE Connection, a Quest On Air podcast production. Show notes and links can be found at questoraclecommunity.org/JDE Connection.
To learn more about what's happening in the Quest JD Edwards community, visit our website at questoraclecommunity.org/JD Edwards.